Welcome to the Humble Hoof Podcast. My name is Alicia Harlov. This is a podcast for both horse owners and hoof care professionals, offering discussions into various philosophies on the health of the hoof and soundness of your horse. Please check us out on Facebook or at thehumblehoof.com. A special thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Cavallo. For our Humble Hoof listeners, they are offering 15% off their Cavallo Trek hoof boots using the coupon code HRN at checkout. The Trek is the world's most popular and versatile hoof boot and Cavallo's toughest trail boot, while also doubling as an option for therapy or rehab. The front closure system makes it easily adaptable to various hoof shapes. TPU upper design allows for maximum strength while minimizing weight for the comfort and ease of movement for your horse. These are recommended by vets and trainers and also loved as transport boots by barrel racers, show jumpers, dressage riders, and everyone in between. Again, 15% off a pair of Treks. Use the code HRN at checkout at cavallo-inc.com. If you've listened to the podcast before, you've definitely heard ads for one of our amazing sponsors, Cavallo. Well, Carol Herder is the founder of Cavallo Hoof Boots, and she is a pioneer in natural hoof care. For over 25 years, she has looked at innovative, humane alternatives to traditional metal horseshoes and worked with thousands of owners and their horses worldwide to help them live and move more comfortably. She's even written two books, one called There Are No Horseshoes in Heaven and the other called Hoofprints on the Journey. And she has decades of global advocacy to inspire horse and donkey owners in their hoof care journey. After decades of working with horses, more stories were coming in from professionals and owners about donkeys, which I think we can all relate to. Many of us hoof care providers have struggled with what to do if we work on a donkey that's uncomfortable because there are not many companies that actually have boots that are tailored to donkeys. Carol realized that this population, the donkey population, was being underserved and their hooves are not just small horse hooves. They're entirely different. So she started working to develop the long ear boot, and I reached out to Carol to see if she would talk to me about donkey hooves as well as this boot that will be coming out soon. So why don't we start and have you tell us a little bit about how you became interested in hooves and hoof boots?
Oh, wow. It's a big story. Well, as a child, I lived in the city and I never had the opportunity to be around horses, but I loved them and I read all horsey books and, you know, wanted a horse. But I wasn't allowed to have a pony in the backyard of our city home. So that was really distressing for me as a child. But when I became an adult with babies of my own and had the resources, just through a series of events, it was like, okay, I have an opportunity here to reassess what I want to do with my life. And what I've always wanted was to be around horses. So I packed up the little boys and moved to the country and went to a local horse show and said, who here can teach me how to ride? And that was it. A woman approached me later and she said, here's my, you know, everybody knows me. My barn's up there around the corner, you know, just come. And walking into this barn was like coming home. Truly, it was like all the smells and you know, the sounds of horses. And it was like, oh, thankfully, finally. And, you know, I'm an adult. I'm in my late 20s. So I get a horse and he happens to be a barrel racing horse. That's what he likes to do. The problem with him was the only time he was comfortable was when he was running flat out, because then he couldn't feel the problems that were going on inside of him. So all these endorphins coursing through his system. So this boy, all he wanted to do was run, and he would run off on me all the time. And I fell off numerous times. And, in retrospect, it was a bit of a gift, because one thing is it taught me how to ride. It gave me a love for barrel racing. But it also made me wonder what is wrong with this guy that he has to run all the time? And I started looking at him. I started looking at the other horses, and I discovered that they have a level of discomfort. Now, this was kind of a different scenario for a barn because there were 20 horses on 2 acres. And so they, you know, they were boxed. They didn't have turnout. They were fed a high grain alfalfa diet. They were blanketed in the summer for flies, blanketed in the fall for rain, blanketed in the winter. So they lived a really unnatural life. So these poor horses, you know, there was the kicking, the cribbing, the scratching, the, you know, misbehavior. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I just need to learn how to ride better. You know, so took training with Pat Pirelli and Ray Hunt and all these perfect people. And, but it didn't help my horse. And so I thought, okay, well, this is not a good environment for him. And so I took him out of the barn where I could give him some turnout and have him be more of a natural environment. And 2 days after I had taken him out of the barn, he came out of his stall head bobbing lame, like just atrociously lame. And I phoned the vet, and the vet said, well, have you given him his bute today? And honestly, I didn't even know what bute was. And he said, yeah, it's the phenobarbital that he's been getting every day. He gets 2 grams of it.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well, why? Well, he's got ringbone, side bone splints, arthritis. And, okay, well, no wonder he wants to run away or run off all the time. So I tried to manage it. But I couldn't, because he ended up with, intestinal issues as well from the medication. And the vet was so understanding and kind. He said, you know, I'll take him off your hands. My son will ride him once in a while, and I'll manage the medication. And then 3 months after I got the call that they had to put him down.
Mm.
And so this was my dream, right? I've always wanted to be around horses. I got the buzz of barrel racing with my love, Rocky, and I was bonded to this boy, and now he's dead. So I thought, okay, you know, what gives with these horses? And I started asking questions, and, you know, well, what? And it all came down to the feet, really, like no hoof, no horse. But as I asked questions, the answers I heard were, you know, less than satisfactory, let's say. Why don't you just get on and ride? You know, leave the hoof care to us, little lady. You know, put your butt in the saddle and go ride. I'll take care of your horse. And it was like these condescending answers. And it just, you know, didn't fit well. And I ended up getting ostracized from the mainstream horse world. But, you know, that served to give me even more impetus to find out what the heck's going on with these horses. And I discovered lots of them are on painkillers, anti-inflammatories, glucosamines, you know, because they have this level of discomfort. And when I really looked into it, it became an appalling situation. At that time, there was one vet from Germany, Dr. Strausser, who, I mean, she was really adamant about that nailing metal onto horses' feet was damaging them and robbing them of years of their lives. At the time, I was just interested in this, and I went on to get several other horses that I, you know, in barrel racing, I mean, it's an aggressive sport and it's a lateral flexion. You know, so a level of soundness and flexibility is definitely required, not to mention speed. And I couldn't keep my horses, these horses, 100% sound 100% of the time. And it wasn't just me. Like, I was looking around at everybody else, and those horses had problems too, you know. And you give them stall rest, or you change the feed, or you change the farrier program, or, you know, you do something and it abates for a while. And then, you know, the horse seems sound for a year maybe, and then boom, it's back again. And then by the time they're 12 or 14, they've got bar shoes and pads. And, you know, but the issue is still going on is the more you clamp their feet and pad them, the less they can feel the brewing pathologies that are going on within the hoof capsule. So, and further up the structure. all these issues going on with horses. I couldn't keep my horses sound 100% of the time, 100% sound. I thought it maybe was about breeding. And I bought a beautiful horse, and she's very expensive, and she won the cutting horse futurity here in Canada as a three-year-old. And she was bred to run. She was bred to perform. And, you know, we went on the circuit, the British Columbia Barrel Racing Association circuit, and she was wonderful. She wanted to do it, but she couldn't stay sound either. So one day I'm getting her shod, and the farrier comes and it starts nailing the shoes on. And I just look at her feet and look at her body, and it was like this epiphany. It's like, wait a second here, this is wrong. You're clamping metal onto live tissue, and you've got 1,000 pounds of horse coming down on this small little hoof. And her hoofs were small at that time because really she was started too soon, too early, and she was worked too hard too young, and her hoofs never got a chance to really develop and perform, provide a platform for her big athletic body. And so these teeny little hoofs are being clamped with metal and nailed, you know, with metal. And I just said, no, I'm not going to do this. But I had no idea what to do then. And then when the shoes were off, she was really sore. And what I discovered later, of course, was she could feel the problems that were brewing in her feet, because she never had a chance to fully develop her coffin bone and the other structures in her hoof. So fortuitously at that time, and so many things unfolded in my life that, like, I met the people I needed to meet and came up against the problems. And, you know, there's pivotal moments where you have to say, I mean, I have a degree in economics and psychology. I was a nightclub manager in a city. If anybody told me that I would be examining horses' feet and now standing on the world platform talking about horses' feet, I would have said, absolutely no way. But, you know, here I am fortuitously going to the UK to promote my saddle pads, because initially when I discovered that all these horses had issues and were sore, I thought, okay, we domesticate them and we put saddles on their backs. So that must be where the issues stem from. And so I developed a range of therapeutic saddle pads to compensate for the imbalances of saddles and the imbalances of riders and, you know, all the soreness of horses' backs. And it helped, but it didn't solve these, I'm going to say, more subtle issues that I could see, just the swishing tail and this level of discomfort. And some days they could pick up the right lead and some days they can't. So it was more these subtle nuances that intrigued me. So with my therapeutic saddle pads, off I went to Birmingham to the biggest wholesale trade show in the world for equestrian products. And here was this man with this really weird looking apparatus that intrigued me. And it was a boot for horses. And he said, this can go on a horse's hoof and protect their sole and protect their whole hoof. And I thought, oh, that's exactly what I need for the lame horse that I pulled the shoes off back at home. So I said, okay, interesting. They were just launching, and at that time, the boot was called Old Max. And it was developed, it was carved out by in wood to begin with. And then Greg Giles, who I met, transformed this wooden, he was in the safety footwear business, so he knew all about footwear. And so he transformed this wooden carving into a hoof boot and brought it to the market, because he didn't know anything about horses, but he believed, you know, that the metal shoes were bad and that he could transform the world by providing this, into the equestrian world. And admittedly, at that time, he said, well, I'm a bit bored in my business, so I want to, you know, branch out into something else. I'll try equestrian. But he had no idea how dogmatic and traditional our world is. I mean, we've been nailing metal into horses' feet for 1,500 years. And the idea of wanting to change that, you know, was pretty, we had a lot of opposition. Anyway, this boot was called Old Max. And so I brought it home to my horse and put it on. And she, you know, she liked it. And I could walk her and I could rehabilitate her nicely in these boots. And here's a funny story, because after 6 months of rehabilitation, I went back on. And by this time, I really believed that metal was bad for the horses. So I went back on the circuit and my horse was barefoot. And I was about to, you know, I'm warming up my horse in the warming pan. And some of the girls approached me and they said, Carol, you've obviously fallen on really hard times. And we've put some money together. And here's some money. And there's a farrier over there so you can get your horse shod.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was funny. So I said, yeah, okay, thank you, but no. And watch this. And I shaved a second off my time.
Wow.
And, you know, yeah, first of all, Dot, well, her name is, I still have her. She's 36.
Wow.
Her name is as bad as my dad. And her dad's name was no more Mr. Nice Guy. And these guys, these horses are like, you know, athletically bred. I mean, she's gorgeous. Anyway, off she goes. And now she's running flat out. And here's what happens. When the hoof is clamped with metal, it can't expand to absorb the weight of the horse coming down. Okay, so where is the weight absorbed? Well, in the structure of the hoof. So ring bone, side bone splints, arthritis, further up the structure. And it makes the horse sore, okay, because the hoof can't expand to absorb shock. You may have heard it said that a horse has five hearts. What that means, one in the chest and four on the ground. And the four on the ground refers to the frog. And the frog has a couple of functions. One is, as it makes contact with the ground, it spreads the heels apart so that the sole draws flat and allows the weight of the horse somewhere to descend. Okay, so it's that expansion and contraction. Two is it's a pumping action that circulates blood. And blood has oxygen and nutrients in it, which prevent or alleviate many of the conditions our horses are plagued with. So Dot could run flat out without that inhibition of the metal shoes. And she was bred to run. So she just flew. And secondly, the expansion and contraction of the hoof, when it's the hoof mechanism is functioning properly, and it's traction, it provides traction. So she got around those barrels in three strides rather than four, and without any slipping or sliding. So anyway, it took a long time for some of these barrel racers to be convinced that this is why she had a better run and shaved a second off her time. And to this day, like, it's hard for people to make the change and the transition. And that's what we do here at Cavallo. We walk them through it. And now, of course, horses have been domesticated. Okay, so in a wild horse environment, they'd be moving 30, 40 kilometers, 15 miles a day, foraging for food, running with the herd. So that hoof mechanism would be functioning all day long. They'd be pumping the blood. There'd be expansion and contraction. When they want to hydrate internally, they'd be standing in a watering hole or something, or a river, and that would create hydration in the hoof as well, providing elasticity, facilitating this expansion and contraction. But we don't have that for horses, and we've domesticated them. And then when we want to ride, you know, the average weight of rider and tack is 200 pounds. So we put that on their backs, and then it pushes the hoof further into the terrain that they may not be. So we can modify our home environment to a degree, and we have all kinds of suggestions to do that. You don't need to, you know, turn your horse out into a wild environment to accommodate hoof mechanism. You can do that with certain things in your living environment that emulate what happens in a wild horse environment. And even on 2 acres, you can do this. But when you want to ride them, when you want to ride your horse, you do need protection because the hoof is generally not conditioned. It can be barefoot on his living environment, and he can pick where he wants to walk, and he's got 4 legs. If he steps one foot on a rock, he can pick it up and move over or whatever. But when you ride, you want him to go where you want to go. So it may be a gravelly trail. It may be asphalt. It may be a mountain. And the hoof may not be conditioned to that. So, and then you've got the additional weight pushing the sole further into the terrain that it's not conditioned to. So you need protection. So that comes in the form of hoof boots that you put on when you ride. You ride through any terrain at any speed. And when you come home, you take them off and allow your horse to be barefoot and natural on his living environment. So that's the reason for hoof boots. And then how I got involved was with this old Max that I saw really helped my horse, but I didn't like the design of it. There was a strap that went around the pastern, and then when the horse picks his leg up, it would tighten. And so that would cut off the blood supply potentially. And I just thought it was too restrictive. And so I developed and modified a hoof boot that was easier to put on, didn't have a lot of gadgets, didn't require a specific trim, was fast, you know, because people don't have time to fiddle around anyway, and would stay on through all terrain at any speed, and hence the Caballo hoof boot. So that was in 2006. You know, way back when, it was like I would go to talks, I'd go to horse events, and I'd show my boot, and I'd be there standing on my little pedestal, you know, telling all this stuff I've just told you. And, you know, a few people would listen, but, you know, one person would try it, and then they'd tell another person and another person. And, you know, it was really a grassroots word of mouth thing. And, you know, boy, 20 years later, overnight success in 20 years, now we're selling, you know, hundreds of thousands of boots worldwide, and, you know, in 80 countries around the world. And it's caught on. This thing that I had so much resistance to caught on. And now people understand that their horses can be barefoot, and that they can wear hoof boots when they're riding. And now there are other hoof boot companies following and popping up. And, you know, I appreciate that because it lends validity to the segment of products that are available for horses. And really, I'm going to say this is the biggest change we will have seen in our lifetimes about how we're treating horses' hoofs. And, you know, we've changed 1,500 years of tradition, and horses are... we get phone calls here at Caballo every day about, thank you, you've saved my horse's life. And
that's awesome.
It's really very gratifying.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love hearing that story. It's so fascinating to hear kind of the journey of it all. And I mean, I could talk forever about horse hooves and, you know, a functioning, healthy hoof, and something that I want to learn more about. I do have a lot of donkeys that I trim, but I know that they are sort of their own special, unique case when it comes to their feet, and they're not exactly like horse feet. So I know that you know a lot about donkeys and are even, you know, developing a donkey boot. So I would love to talk a bit about donkeys for our audience and then discuss a little bit about hoof protection for them, if that's okay.
Absolutely. And this has been an interesting little journey too, because we started getting a lot of requests for donkey boots, and we thought, oh, well, you know, they're just little horses. So, you know, get the slim, you know, because we have two soles in the Caballo boots. One is as wide as long and the other is narrower. So, So the slim Cavallo boot will you know, be a fine fit for a donkey. But it turned out that donkeys aren't little horses. so we had to study that. And it was a very interesting journey because initially I thought, okay, they're these like Coke bottle conical shaped feet. And interesting, wow, the frog doesn't make contact with the ground. Isn't that weird? You know, how does it pump the blood and how does it expand the hoof and where's the weight being absorbed? And then I discovered, I think, and have discovered since, and there's lots of information and I mean, you probably know this, of course you would, that the frog should make contact with the ground. And what we were looking at was the way the hoof modified to do what it had to do over the years. Stoically pack, you know, people and goods and weight on their back that was way heavier than them at certain times through civilization for humans. And so this hoof evolved sort of almost not to feel what's going on inside of it. And then the personality followed to become stoic and to mask pain. And a real good functioning donkey hoof, actually the frog does make contact with the ground. And I just find that amazing how this animal modified its hoof to not feel and not really pump a lot of blood so that it could do what we are asking it to do. For 5,000 years is how long they have been working beside us, you know, on the Silk Road through biblical times and, you know, just carrying everything for us and really helping to build the world that we know. That's how goods were transported. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's absolutely true because I mean, I think all of us can think of a donkey that we've worked on that was, we found out was severely foundered and they were just very mildly lame because they do seem to be so much more stoic than what we think of with horses. Yeah. And you kind of alluded to it, but is there anything else that you can tell us about the difference between donkey anatomy and horse anatomy?
Well, the donkey hoof is conical. You know, it's very hard. It's got a really advanced digital cushion. You know, I'm not a trimmer. And what I've learned is more about how the donkey's hoof is shaped. And I think as a trimmer, there's a couple things. I mean, you have to be a partner, don't you? A good trimmer is educated and is a partner in the donkey's long-term health and educates the horse owner, the donkey owner as well. So just looking at the horse, you know, how is he standing? How is he moving? How is he shifting his weight? And the other thing that is so different is the height. So when we were developing the long-eared boot, LEB, we understood length and width, and we sort of got that. And of course, we had to keep modifying the boot to be narrower and narrower. And at some point, we were pretty fascinated at how narrow it had to become. And some of the first prototypes were just based on that. And we, you know, at a time we got a little bit less than motivated about it because this long, narrow hoof and we just kept building molds and being told that it had to be narrower. So it ended up being a little bit costly, but having discovered what I discovered about the frog having to make contact with the ground, I was committed to giving donkeys some comfort so that they could be comfortable in any situation. So we kept on. But then the interesting thing was after this was all built and we got the mold absolutely perfect for the length and width, and it, all the trimmers that we're working with and the vets agreed, we had a height problem. because they're really high.
Yeah.
And the heels are really high, and it's just a different anatomy, and I can't tell you why, but that's the way they're shaped. Even with a big healthy frog, that natural heel height was the thing, and that we had to yet again go back to the drawing board and modify the design.
Yeah, I do, you know, along those same lines, as you're talking about this robust digital cushion as well, I think that, you know, if I put a traditional horse boot on a donkey, that's where I see those rubs like you're talking about, is because their digital cushion and heel bulbs seem to be so much more pronounced than with a horse. And so having a boot that's more tailored to that does sound much better, so that it's not going to cause those rubs or issues.
And stay on. Yeah.
Right, right.
Let me go back one step and just address what you said about the rubbing and the digital cushion and the bulbs.
Yeah.
So the other thing that we discovered making the boot longer and narrower is to include the heel bulbs in the measurements. Now, this is different from any other hoof boot, because in hoof boot measurements, you just go to the buttress and you don't include the bulb in the measuring. But now with the new LED boot, you include the bulb. And so this is going to conform better to the horse's, to the donkey's natural shape.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say that,
yeah,
honestly.
Absolutely. And obviously, I mean, as we were talking about donkeys being stoic and not always showing their pain, how can we know that something might be causing them pain hoof-wise, or how can we know that they might benefit from using hoof protection like a boot?
What a great question. Well, it's observation, isn't it? I mean, you can tell by the shape of their eyelids, the crease in the eyelids, and this is a lot like a horse, actually. You know, if you look at the eye, and the middle of the brow is going up, and there's creasing, and it doesn't look relaxed. So that's one way that I find so obvious to tell. Like, how, look at his face, look at his eyes. Is he looking relaxed and happy? Does he lick? You know, does his head go down? Is he, what's his demeanor? Is he social? And donkeys are very social, and they're very smart. And so they need to be somewhat entertained. You know, if you can't play with them and do things with them, you know, they should absolutely be with a herd. Keeping them separate from a herd would cause a lot of distress.
Yeah.
You know, and saying that, like, do they go off and stand by themselves? You know, you can observe, and the astute horse donkey owner develops a sense of observation that, you know, is he shifting from one leg to the other? Can he stand square? Is the tail swishing? How does his body move? Does it look comfortable? Yeah. Can he track properly?
Those are all, yeah, definitely great things to look for. And obviously, prevention is the best cure, I guess, is something I've heard, is that ideally we'd be having our donkeys managed in such a way that they would grow healthy hooves. And I know that you've, when we were preparing for this episode, sent me a lot of information about management for donkeys to set them up for success. So I would love if you could share some tips for owners to help them grow a healthy hoof and have a healthy hoof.
Yes. Well, healthy trimming is number one. Thank you, donkey trimmers. Truly. And they need movement, you know, they need to pump that blood. And so, you know, it builds healthy metabolism. The joints are healthy and active. Their psychology is more settled if they're moving. So you build a track. You can build a little track. We call, Jamie Jackson coined it. It's called Paddock Paradise. And it's so simple, really. It's just a fence within a fence. And you can string a wire, you know, make it about a meter, well, about 4 feet wide, and put a wire inside your pre-existing fence. And what that does is it provides a corridor because donkeys are curious little things. Mm-hmm. And if they have a corridor, they're going to move down it to find out, you know, what's there. If you leave him in a big field just standing there, he'll stand there. But if you provide a corridor and maybe switch around what you put there, you know, you can move the food from place to place. You could even move the water from place to place. Hydration is really important. You know, at one point it was thought that donkeys need a really dry environment, but it was just because that's what they had in the past. And we don't want the wake to drive the boat here, you know, we want to move forward. And so moisture, you know, provide a little moisture. Like I said, in a natural environment, he'd be hydrating his hoofs when he hydrates internally. So you could overflow a watering station so he has to stand in some water when he drinks. You know, do different terrain on this track that you've set up for him. So, you know, you could put some river rocks or something and vary the terrain a little bit. And if there's some variety, and if there's another donkey or even another animal around, they'll push each other along. And so that keeps them moving. So there's the movement, there's the trimming, there's mineral balance you could look at. You could have your hay analyzed and make sure that he's got enough zinc and copper, and, you know, selenium supports the immune system. Lots of water, always lots of water to drink, and salt, provide salt. Watch his weight management. Donkeys can put on a lot of weight, and that can be a real problem for them. And they tend to store weight in different areas. So you really have to watch the neck and shoulders. And they may look very normal, but, you know, you have to really watch. And this BCS, this body conditioning score, this numerical system, so you can assess, you can look into that. It's very interesting. You can assess the amount of fat and overall body condition of the animal. So watch his diet, watch his movement, maybe supplement if you can. And, you know, in terms of supplements, I have to say you get what you pay for, because in our industry, there's a lot of claims made that aren't really valid. And they may, you know, claim to have a certain amount of selenium in a supplement. And it may well have, but can it be absorbed? And in order to be absorbed, it has to go through a process called chelation, and to help it be pre-metabolized and easy to metabolize. And that's an expensive process. So you have to pay. So generally, you know, I look for the ingredients, and I tend to look for the more expensive ones because they tend to be the better quality.
Yeah. And often, as a hoof care provider, often the first sign that I see of, like you're talking about, diet issues or not enough movement are hoof issues. You know, I'll see it in the feet of donkeys that, you know, some donkeys owners just think that they always have white line disease. But that to me is a symptom. It's not just a genetic thing. It's a symptom that something isn't working right. Or, you know, if these donkeys have fat pads all over, like you're talking about them storing fat, then often I'll see the event lines in their feet, or they'll end up, you know, getting a lamellar wedge or having some rotation because they're not made to, you know, be these fat little things. But yeah, and I think that's why for so long, because I think owners have not, you know, they're trying to take care of their donkeys in a way that is not suited necessarily to their genetics. We're seeing all these hoof issues, and I've for so long wanted an option for hoof protection that was more suited to their hoof shape. And is the long ear boot the first, like, you know, sole donkey boot that's available? Or is it available yet? Or when is it available, I should ask?
Well, it is absolutely the first and only long-eared boot. Our prototype, we signed off on them. So we're in production now. Initially, I was saying August, but I'm going to say September just to be sure. And if anyone is interested in being called when they're in, because It's amazing how much interest we have on these now. So you can get on a list to make sure that you get a pair, because I feel like they're going to go pretty fast. And the way they're made, I mean, yes, you're right. Like, people have treated donkeys as horses and not looked at the individual needs of the hoof. So yeah, the boot is similar, very similar to our horse boots. They're leather lined, so they're nice and soft and comfortable around the bulb. They're lightweight, but super durable, so that the sole is made of TPU, thermoplastic urethane. It's really tough. It can go through any terrain at any speed, and it absorbs shock and concussion at the same time. Really easy to put on, front closure, front opening, and they stay on. We just have to make sure we get the right size, of course. If they're too big, they'll fall off. If they're too small, they'll rub. They're sold in pairs. In black, and one of the colors that, well, we did a survey. What color do you want? And turquoise won.
So, oh, wow.
I love
turquoise.
There you go. Yeah. And then all that being said, you know, there is this big donkey, the American Mammoth donkey that was bred in the U.S. to work hard and be big. So he stands about 14 hands. And, you know, they're strong, and that's what they're bred for. And their hoofs tend to be bigger and wider. So I'm going to say, in a lot of cases with this big Jack, the Mammoth can fit into the Cavallo Trek, either regular or slim full. Yeah.
That's great. Awesome. So looking forward to it this fall.
Yeah. So actually, you know, if you want to get on the list, that would be great. If you just send an email into info@cavallo-inc.com, and we'll put you on the list, and we'll give you a call when they come in. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Now, there are a couple of interesting things about donkeys, you know.
Oh, yeah. I would love to hear that. Yeah.
So a donkey's bray can travel 60 miles.
No way. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I guess that's how they found each other in the desert, or, you know, it's amazing. And they're very smart. They remember complex routes and human friends for decades, like 25 years, and they'll remember your face.
Oh.
Yeah. And the male is called a Jack. The female's a Jenny. And then the Spanish-speaking regions call them burro. So if you were ever confused about that, there you go. You know, and there's a lot of resources, a lot of things people can explore, you know. DonkeyHost.com, the Donkey Sanctuary, Liberated Horsemanship, Ross Keller. Like, these are some of the people who really helped us design the boot, and there's lots to explore now. I mean, it seems like this world is opening up. Is it just me?
No, it's so great. I really do think that people are becoming more interested in different options for hooves, which is really great, because there are so many options now, and we can, you know, not have to just be doing the same thing or stuck in the same kind of routine. So I'm so glad that you're even coming out with a donkey boot, because that's just taking things to the next step. So that's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And if anybody wants any more information about, you know, these practitioners to explore, they can send an email into info@cavallo as well. And we're here to help.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being willing to chat with me. This has been a really great conversation. I'm so glad that we can learn more about donkeys, but also the boots that are coming out, because I know many people are going to be interested in them. And great. I would love to chat again about some horse hoof stuff too, because it sounds like you have such cool experiences over the last however many decades you've been involved in the hoof boot world.
Yeah. And, you know, just quickly, I'm not going to get into it right now, but we're involved in a diagnostic tool that, again, is going to change the world. And we started the development with a group called Continental out of Hanover, Germany, and they approached us wanting to develop this diagnostic tool. It's a good story, too, which maybe we can talk about on another time. But what we've got is sensors in the bottom of the boot that transmit information in real time to any of your devices. Ground fall, reaction, breakover, weight distribution, centrifugal force, a lot of information that can help, that can prevent lameness and diagnose it well before it manifests and well before the naked eye could possibly see it. So this new boot, as I said, has been in development for 4 years. It just launched recently in Hanover, Germany. So it's going out to the vets in Germany for a final sort of okay. And then we should have it available in North America by the end of, mid to end of 2026. And we can talk more about that. It's just amazing.
Yeah. I think I saw a Facebook post about that recently. I don't know if it was from you or the Cavallo page, but it does look so interesting. That's something that I'm really interested in because I have a hoof rehab facility and I do track how the horses are moving and their, you know, flight path of their hoof and their landing and their loading and just through slow motion video. But to have real data would be amazing.
Yeah. And you know, the beauty of it, Alicia, is that there's no disputing the scientific data. And so often in our world, I've found that maybe one vet will have an opinion of what's going on and it might be different from another practitioner, which might differ from the trimmer or the farrier. And and then maybe the horse owner herself has a gut feeling of what's going on. And you know, so then they're maybe at odds, but here is real-time scientific data on your screen that is indisputable. So then everybody can collaborate on how to proceed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's so exciting. And I would definitely love to talk with you about that at some point because it sounds like that could be something that's really useful for professionals and owners.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, again, thank you so much for being willing to talk with me about this. And I'm really excited to get this information out there. And I'm excited for when the boot comes out. So again, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure, truly. Okay, bye.
Bye. Have a nice day.
You too.
Thanks. Bye. I always say that I'm slightly more hoof obsessed than the average person, and chances are, if you're listening to a hoof care podcast, you are too, so we should probably be friends. Feel free to find me on Facebook or email me at thehumblehoof@gmail.com.